You're listening to The MemoCast, brought to you by Wreck-It Magazine.
Hey guys, welcome to episode, what is it, 8?
Yes.
Episode 8 of the MemoCast. That's 2 months. We've been doing this for 2 months.
Yeah, and we've been able to stay, for the most part,
pretty consistent.
Yeah, other than the time where we put it up Tuesday, we've been on the mark.
Yeah, so welcome to episode 8, the 2 month mark of the MemoCast. My name is Mike.
I am Mondo.
And we're going to start off this episode with the newsworthy notes. The news from the nerdosphere. Mondo hates when I do that.
I actually really enjoy it. So you start us off and we'll just bounce back and forth with this.
So, first things first, Facebook announced that, like, they did a data experiment, which was really interesting, where they took users' data or their Facebook walls and skewed the posts that would appear there to be either positive or negative for different test groups.
Yeah.
And then they gauged the status updates of those test groups later on to see if those users were posting positive or negative things. And it was really interesting because apparently the users that only viewed positive status updates from their followers or their friends
had more PMA, more positive mental attitude.
Yeah, and then the ones who viewed negative had more negative things to say.
Yeah.
There was a caveat in there in that the lady who edited and published it is saying that maybe the study was a little bit unethical.
Yes.
By manipulating their users. They said it was well within the terms of use.
They were well within their legal parameters, but moral, not so much.
Yeah, so like, what I thought was really funny is the article that we read together, she was like, yeah, ethics is kind of a, you know, a group decision. There's no real way to say whether it was ethical. But now that people are angry, it was definitely unethical.
Yeah, after you've already done it.
Yeah, after she had already signed off on it and published it, which I thought was funny. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And then, so the next bit of news that we got to talk about is that Wizards of the Coast did an unboxing video of their new D&D starter box. So I thought that was really interesting. Mike Merles, one of the creative directors over there, he sat down with Greg. I forget Greg's last name. They were both looking very tired and haggard. But they sat down, they opened the box up, and they showed you a bunch of the art and a bunch of the monster. They showed some, like, statistics blocks from, you know, the different monsters that you can fight in the thing. And they talked about the adventure and the setting. Showed you the dice. It was really cool. I was a little bit disappointed that, unlike the previous starter boxes, this one did not come with models.
Mm.
I had a starter box that came with models.
Yeah.
And this one did not come with models. So I was a little bit disappointed at that. But other than that, it's a really cool unboxing video. And if you want to watch it, you can go to their YouTube channel or to their Twitch channel. Just look up Wizards of the Coast or WOTC D&D.
What?
And look at that. So, what do you have lined up for us?
After that, speaking of models, I want to talk about the Mockingjay trailer. And the reason why I say models is because in that trailer, before we get too deep into it, PETA has got a very, like, model-esque look on there. You know, very, like, Chanel perfume, like, or, like a Macy's, like, little ad thing in the background. And so it was just a minute and a half little teaser, and it didn't really show us any footage from the movie. It was just more of, like, a propaganda, like, commercial, which I thought, you know, obviously it fits very well into the context of the books and the movies, and I thought it was done really well, and it even reminded me a little bit of a project Mike and I worked on in high school where we had to, like, do this whole constitution, and it was like, oh, you have to form the perfect government, and we did the opposite and did the unperfect, and it was like, some of the things that were being said, is like, that almost sounds like something we wrote.
Yeah, no, it was definitely... definitely reminiscent of that project where we were like, instead of doing the perfect American utopia, we're going to do the perfect American dystopia.
Yeah, and nobody got it.
Nobody got it. We got the highest grade that he'd ever given on that assignment.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. But yeah, so that's that. I thought it was pretty interesting. A lot of the very, very pure white image, you know, imagery and... yeah. And
of innocence and ability.
Yeah, purity, unity. That was... it was very interesting. It plays really well into the mythos of the books.
Yeah, also, whoever directed that little trailer could easily, get a job working for someone evil if they really wanted to.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Speaking of evil, Transformers, Age of Extinction?
Yes.
Came out this weekend, and it's currently 18% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is, it's the lowest rated, entry in the franchise, which is unfortunate, but it's still raking in tons of cash, brought in over $100 million, roughly, yeah, once it takes in the whole box, because it made 41 on Friday alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so Michael Bay responded and was pretty much kind of just like, eh, if there's the discussion, I don't really care. And I was like, why should he? He's too busy counting his money.
He's too busy swimming in his giant vault of Transformers cash.
No. It's not even like a vault. It's like, have you seen James Hall of Bob Strike Back?
I have not.
Okay, well, there's a scene where they're filming... what's that movie with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon? Good Will Hunting. They're filming, okay, Good Will Hunting 2, Hunting Season. And so Gus Van Sant is, like, counting his money.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, so, action, Gus? And he's like, damn it, Ben, I'm busy. You just see him counting hundreds. So that's what I feel like, you know, Transformers 5 is going to be like, so, action, Michael? Damn it, like damn it, Marky Mark, I'm busy. I guess what I envision filming for the next one's going to be like.
And then Mark Wahlberg breaks his face.
He's like, I'm Iron Man. I'm fucking Iron Man.
Say hello to your mother for me.
He's like, I'm not going to bid on the socks. But so speaking of Michael Bay, that brings us into our big discussion for this first half, and that is the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles trailer was unveiled this week. And so, you know, from the original trailers, we mostly just saw April, and we saw all humans, and it was like, oh, here's little glimpses of the turtles. This was like the first show, like, we're going to give you turtles. You guys have been wanting to see more turtles, and yeah, here's turtles. You get a turtle, and you get a turtle, and you get
Oprah came out of a stage in the middle of the trailer and was like, everybody gets turtles!
Yeah, and so, you know, we saw a lot of footage, we saw a lot of dialogue, which mm-hmm. was really helpful. We also saw the Shredder in action to an extent. A little too much action.
He looked like a goddamn video game villain. He's like, this isn't even my final form.
No, it's like Ganondorf at the end of Ocarina of Time. Let me transform into this giant pig monster. You know, or it wasn't even that. He looked like a Transformer.
Yeah,
know?
No, really. He just, like, he comes out and you're like, okay, that's a pretty fucking cool,
like, that's
Shredder
cool
outfit.
And then he does the thing, like, more claws come out. You're like, okay, that's a little bait, but it's still believable. And all of a sudden, one more time, it's like, there are the more claws. And you're like,
no, I'm Shredder Wolverine Transformer Optimus Prime.
And not only that, but he can throw these and they float around and they
come back
like boomerangs.
He's a video game villain. That's what he is. Michael Bay played a Teenage Mutant Turtles video game and was like, this is what the movie needs.
Yes. In fact, that would actually be like when the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles licensed video game comes out. That would be a cool boss to fight.
Yeah.
Story-wise, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But what was funny is that you saw Raph, and he was just like, this is our city! He was very much like the aggressive turtle, almost the quote-unquote, like, ghetto turtle. You know, this from the streets.
It's, yeah.
This is our city! And what was really cool is you saw some of the turtles being wrangled up into, like a van or, like, mm-hmm. an armory vehicle. They get in shock, and you see Splinter being defeated. But what was really interesting is that Raphael, like, he finds Splinter, and he's like, we have to save my brothers! You know, yeah. So I'm thinking there's going to be like a, which would be like a reversal from the first movie, mm-hmm. wherein it's like, you know, he was incapacitated and they all kind of had to get Raph out of there. Now it's like, they're all incapacitated and Raph has to save them.
Maybe they're doing like a Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah.
Kind of, we're like, okay, we're taking the same basic plot from the first movie, but we're tweaking it and we're turning everything on its ear. So that might be interesting because I actually enjoyed Into Darkness because of the homage they play to Wrath of Khan.
Yeah.
So, but
they said Wrath of Khan.
Wrath of... That's a completely different movie. That's the fan fiction I'm working on.
Right. He's like, Khan! And then you just see someone in the background, damn! But, no, I don't think they're going to... I feel like they don't... I don't feel like they're going to repeat the whole movie in that sense. But I do think, as far as that thing, you'll see a lot of little homage to different... Mm-hmm. Various like interpretations of the turtles, and as long as we don't see them doing like a coming out of our shells dance montage, I'm good.
I had just forgotten about that, and then I brought up the whole April, like the Oprah like turtles thing, and then it kind of reminded me. I was like, well, maybe we won't catch that reference.
Oh, I caught it. Coming out of our shells.
Stop it! Stop it right now.
No, and so that was really rad to see. You know, I got really stoked on it,
mm-hmm.
and. You know, it's a little bit over a month away now. Like, it's we're getting really close.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So pretty soon we're going to do what? We should do a Guardians of the Galaxy viewing.
Well, they're a week apart, so I definitely want to do, like, a double feature. Yes.
Okay, so I think we'll do another, if they're playing at the local drive-ins.
I feel like they will, because, like, what other two, like, I've looked at a lot of the release dates around the time, like, I feel like that's just the natural pairing, because they're both action, a little bit of comedy, and I feel like there's something you can take the family to.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, anyways. Technically, and they're technically both comic book movies.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So that's how it would work.
All right, yeah. So we might be doing a double feature of Guardians and Turtles.
Now, even if it's not at the drive-in, when Turtles comes out, we'll rewatch Guardians and watch it before. We'll make our own double feature. who needs the drive-thru? Drive-in. Who needs the drive-in?
Who needs the drive-in? Well, you could just movie hop. We don't movie hop. We don't do movie hopping.
We'll buy tickets.
Yeah. Please pay the people who make movies, because they don't get enough money.
Would you download a car?
would you steal a policeman's hat and then shoot him? And then go to the bathroom in his hat and give it to his grieving widow and then steal it back?
I would do all of that and then download a car.
Download a car.
If I could download a car, you don't think I wouldn't already?
3D printing.
What?
3D printing. You can download the plans for a 3D printed car.
No, I want the car, like once the torrent is done, the car just in my driveway.
Oh, you don't want to have to wait for like 3 days for your printer to print it out?
No.
Okay.
I want the car. I want my Lamborghini. I don't even like Lamborghinis. I just want it. If you say I downloaded it, kind of like...
What if you think you're downloading a Lamborghini, but as soon as the torrent's done downloading, just like...
It's a mule.
Yeah. You're just like, oh, come on.
Guys, come on. I'm Mexican. It's like I couldn't get one of these on my own. I didn't need to wait 18 hours for this. I could have just, you know, driven to my uncle's house.
it's not that hard to achieve.
And so... We're gonna take a break. We're gonna play a song by Boys. They're from Ohio, featuring my friend Megan on vocals. And then we're gonna go into an interview I did with Andrew Deutsch of Nerd Fit out in LA, which is a CrossFit nerd inspired gym, which was really cool. I was able to go there earlier today, sans Michael, because he was busy doing other things. But I was able to go there and join them for a workout and then interview Andrew and really get, like, how it all started and get the meat and potatoes of the history and kind of achievements and what they're really all about.
Yeah.
And it's a cool place. Like, for, you know, like, they have, like, all these, like, nerd-related, like, fitness things. Like, one of the best ones, the bathroom, is, like, Space Invaders.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sad I didn't go. Like, I was up until, like, 2 in the morning getting an unruly 6-year-old to go to bed.
Well, I'm going back next Sunday. I already told Andrew, like, I'm going, you know, and it's $15 a class.
Okay.
Or you can do, like, a punch card, which you'll hear in the interview. So if you're down, even if I have to spot you, we should go.
Okay, yeah, no, definitely.
All right, so we're going to hear the interview. Well, we're going to hear the song, hear the interview, and then we'll be back with more news.
More news.
All right, so keep it here.
Bye, guys.
I'm tired of being pessimistic, always leaning up against the wall. I tried to call you, but you must have missed it. Must have missed it. And there's a reason why I never called you back again. Cause I'm over it. And whining about it won't make it any easier. I don't know your plans, but I'm not gonna waste my time on someone I don't care about.
Alright, Armando here, sans Chiboya, because he is lazy. Here we are at a Nerd Fit, which is a, correct me if I'm wrong, but like a nerd-inspired CrossFit gym, and here we are with Andrew Deutsch, like Deutschland.
Yes, yes, it is exactly that. It is a CrossFit inspired. We don't have our affiliation with CrossFit as of yet, but it's very CrossFitty, if you're going to use a term about what we do here. It's very basic stuff, body weight movements, barbell, kettlebell, gymnastic, you know, just a variations of lots of different exercises.
Yes, but so you're not CrossFit affiliated per se, but I see some little plaques on the wall. I'm assuming you at least have certification.
Yes, yeah, well, I got certified in level one trainer, which is like their first sort of initial, and then I'm also at gymnastics as well.
Okay,
there's more coming down the pike. I've got a couple more this year that I've got to get certified.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah.
Okay, so how much of a fitness background do you have? Now I'm curious.
You know what? I don't have a lot. I'm not one of those people that you would probably have gone up to 10 years ago and said, you know what, you need to start a gym. You've won every race. You have done everything you possibly could. You should start a gym. I'm still, my day job is as a art director for a .com. So this is a hobby that has grown into a business. And so I would say about 4 years ago is when I finally started to getting really into fitness.
Okay.
And that started with CrossFit, and then it blossomed into what we have here today.
Okay, so when did, I guess, NerdFit officially start?
Like, it started officially on June 1st of 2014.
Okay.
But it was a garage gym for about a year at my house. And what happened was, it was just me, and I got some equipment, put it in my garage. I had a friend who was going through some personal stuff, and he said, you know what, I want to start working out.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to get this guy to work out for years.
Yeah.
And so it became just me and him, and I would program stuff for me and him, and he would tweet about it and Facebook about it, and then another guy was like, hey, what is this?
Yeah.
And eventually I told my old gym, my dungeon master and I are working out in my garage and this other guy. And they're like, wow, it's like Nerd Fitness over there.
Yeah.
And we just kind of embraced that name and it became Nerd Fit. And then eventually, over time, it just sort of grew into what we have here, which is an actual physical place.
Yeah, you said 2014. Did you mean 2013? Because June 1st of 2014 was a couple weeks ago.
Yes, that's the official opening day.
Okay.
Was that day. And then but you know, we've been doing this for over a year.
All right.
So in this space, with shirts and the whole nine yards.
Yeah. With all the fancy bells and whistles.
Huh?
With all the fancy bells and whistles.
Exactly, exactly.
So how is membership going so far? You said it was just you and your dungeon master. how is it like today?
You know, it's great today. We have about 25 people. So if people come out now, they're getting in on the ground floor. I hope to expand. You know, I think this space could hold 50, 60 clients comfortably with different class times. So right now we have a limited class times, and you know, I only have like maybe 8 to 10 slots per class.
Mm-hmm.
Most CrossFit gyms are these giant sort of complexes.
Yeah.
You can get 50, 60 people in there. But I really wanted to hone in on the members and really give them a more personal experience. You know, when you came in today, I wanted to spend time with you.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get that in a giant, giant class.
Yeah.
And so I really wanted to make sure that people got their money's worth.
Okay. No, it was, I noticed it and it was greatly appreciated because I know I'd never done push presses before. And so you can be like, no, you have to like get it closer to your, like, you know, your body, and you have to angle yourself this way. And so you really helped me get the form down, you know, which is good. Because a lot of times people will focus reps over form, which isn't how you should do things, you know, because if you do 50 reps but you're doing them wrong, you might as well not do them.
Yeah, so most people break down after a certain point, and all you have left, at least for your own personal safety, is form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the only thing you can sort of go back to. And if you don't have that, that's when you get people that are hurt. That's when you have these sort of crazy workouts where it's like 75 reps of a certain thing, and then after about, I don't know, 40 or 50, people start to break down a little bit, they get really tired, and so they need something to go back to and they can rely upon, and so that's why I really stress it here.
Cool. Now, so I noticed the shirts say level up, which I think is a really rad aspect.
You
know, it's from playing RPGs.
Yes.
But are you familiar with the comic XKCD?
I have heard of that.
Okay, because there's a specific comic that relates role-playing games to working out in a similar way that your shirt does, and it says the best way to get, like, or this is like paraphrase, but like the best way to get nerds to work out is to equate going to the gym as leveling up in real life, mm-hmm. which is what I feel this is exactly what it is. You know, like, for example, like, so you, today's theme workout was Total Recall, and so you're like, all right, you know, we're not quite as badass over here, so we're going to scale it down a tiny bit and work, you know. So it's like, instead of doing regular push-ups, like worm push-ups, which I thought was really cool. Everyone's still stuck with it. Everyone was still giving it 110%, and I thought it was fun. Mm-hmm. So from the get-go, was like these kind of theme workouts part of it, or when did that become like a...
You know, that was actually probably a couple weeks into it. I thought that if we're going to be called NerdFit, that we should do something, you know, that really harkens back to why we call ourselves nerds in the first place. And that's, you know, the gaming aspect. Mm-hmm. I do Pathfinder rules with my D&D group. And I love that stuff. I mean, I love that, you know, when he says you earn this experience point and you level up and then you spend the next hour trying to figure out the best spell to memorize or whatever that is. If you can just translate that into real life where you're, you know, we have this sort of achievement board and people always reference back to that, you know, where was I, where can I go, you know, and a lot of... You know, apps, you see that trying to do that, but it's still kind of disconnected from why we call ourselves nerds and the things that we love. And so the themed workouts sort of come in there. And it's not just sort of naming a workout Total Recall. I really wanted to...
Fit with the mythos of what you're referencing.
Exactly.
You know, for example, it's like we had the part where you grab a memory, you know, and so some of us weren't as lucky.
Some of us had a bad memory and some of us had a good memory.
I had good memories. I had lunges and I had dumbbell press, but someone got burpees twice. And I almost wanted to be like, I'll trade you. But I was like, nope, you know what? That was lucky.
That's their memory. That's the one they chose. Yeah. So there's a lot of that where, you know, I just wanted it to actually tap into, if I'm going to name something... what it is, like Total Recall, like last week was Eye of Sauron.
Yeah.
And so the Eye of Sauron would sweep across the gym and you would have to drop down, you know, into a plank position for 30 seconds to avoid the Eye of Sauron randomly during the workout. So, and then we've had zombie workouts where you go into a, you know, a quote unquote shed, grab a weapon.
A bludgeon.
Yes. And then you attack the zombies. Yeah. And then on the July 12th, we have an Indiana Jones workout where you have to do these exercises within this certain amount of time or a boulder hits you and the boulder is 30 wall balls.
Oh, wow.
So you want to avoid that.
Yeah, yes, you do. All right, so you have the theme workouts are only on Sundays, though?
Only on Sundays right now. I think if I did them every single day, I think they just would become a little redundant and not special.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to keep them to one day a week. Plus, they're like mini games. I'm trying to create like a mini little game every single day. So I want to make sure that it works.
Yeah, which is fun because I forget who I saw, but I followed someone on Twitter and a little while ago. They posted like a picture of the Eye of Sauron workout, and I was like, so I, you know, I was like NerdFit, like, or hashtag NerdFit. I was like, let me check this out. And so I came across the website, and so that is around the time I emailed you and I wanted to set up this interview and come and try this out. And what I thought was really cool about the website, on top of the fact that it's designed beautifully, is you make it a point to mention that fitness isn't like just having chiseled abs or this or that. It's just about like pushing yourself to the next level, which I thought was really cool because I've been working out for a fair amount. At one point in my life, I used to be about 235 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, the opposite end of the spectrum, about 130. And so now I feel like, you know, like I've kind of had problems with like eating either too much or not enough. And now, like, you know, working out has helped me achieve a positive lifestyle. But I noticed like a lot of like fitspirational, like things you see on the internet, like verge on like thinspiration and very like, you know, like horrible mentalities toward like it's very body shaming. And I feel like it turns people off to working out, whereas this I feel is so inclusive. Like someone who may like be so scared, we're gonna would check it out because of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of that out there, and I think, you know, those kind of inspirational quotes are, they're all very subjective, and fitness is very subjective, and we try to tap into a diet that has worked for somebody else. Mm-hmm. And then I was at the bookstore yesterday, and I was looking at all these books, and it's like how to be thin or how to be fit in so many days, and you look at the cover of the the book, and that's a person that's probably looked like that their entire lives.
Yeah.
And they just sort of went one degree to the left, and now they become like a fitness expert. Well, that's not us.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've had our ups and downs, yeah, whether they're extreme or, you know, in one direction or the other. And, you know, we need this an environment where, A, we feel like the community is our community.
Yeah.
You know, we can talk about the things we did that weekend. If mm-hmm. it's like D&D, we should be able to talk about those things. And so yeah. here you can talk about those things.
Yeah.
And then the next thing is that the people around you are in your kind of same position.
Yeah.
And you do find that at CrossFit gyms, but the outward focus of CrossFit is very, you know, these are elite monster individuals yeah. that we're going to lift more than you're ever going to lift. Yeah. And they're going to do more than you're ever going to do. So why not have a place where that is not the focus? Mm-hmm. There's none of those pictures out here.
Yeah.
You know, I have pictures of Darth Vader. And,
you
and,
do.
And, you know.
I saw the bathroom. There's like, what, like Space Invaders?
Space Invader bathroom. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's, you know, we tap into the things that, the heroes that we love.
Yeah.
And those can be mythical heroes from, you know, comic books. But I think the normal, average, everyday person wants another normal, average, everyday person yeah. next to them. And so, yes, I didn't have the background of fitness, but I think, you know, when I started at 38 and I'm 42 now, that yeah. It can be a later in life decision
yeah.
that we can really excel at, even though we're, you know, well into our 40s, and you can totally change your life around at any moment.
Yeah, no, like you mentioned like a lot of these books saying be fit in X amount of days, and for me, fitness, there's no set day or time. I feel like it's yeah. an always evolving yeah. state for your body. You know, it's just all about like just getting better, like than yesterday. You know, and so for some people that means becoming like this huge powerlifter. For other people, it just means, you know, fitting into jeans they couldn't fit into a year ago.
Yeah, there's a thing that I do with every person that I try to do this with every person that starts at the gym. So like today, I've got two people coming in, so 10 minutes of our first class is just sitting down and talking.
Yeah.
So I really want to find out why they're here and what they're about. So when I train them later on, I can kind of tap into this psychology because yeah. everybody's different. And mm-hmm. as a coach-to-client relationship, it's going to be different for every person.
Oh, yeah.
Who do I push? Who do I not push? Yeah. You know, there's certain people I don't have to tell them anything. They just go right into it. And yeah. other people I have to sort of, you know, sort of cater to, and that's fine. But I would really like to know why they're here so I can develop my relationship with them throughout.
Oh, totally.
And, you know, and we tap into those things that you're talking about, which is some people outwardly say, you know, I've never done a push-up before. That's really not the reason why they want to start working out.
Yeah.
Oftentimes it's, I don't like the way I look.
Yeah.
You know, I never like the way I look. Mm-hmm. I can't take off my shirt when I go to the pool. You know, it's like things like that, those books don't talk to.
Oh, yeah.
Because those are like internal things that drive us for decades.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's just, you know, you just spend entire years of your life seeing all these different like pictures, movies, videos. You're yeah. just like, I don't look like that. And you just get bummed out. You know,
yeah.
and so everyone has like a different moment. Like for me, my moment is I went to like a ska show like in 2004, so about a decade ago, and I went dancing in like 30 seconds and I was winded. I had to sit down and I felt like embarrassed that like I'm such a young guy or like a young kid and I can't even like dance for more than 30 seconds. And
yeah.
that was like my, or it's time to change things. So,
you know, yeah, I got to that same point. You know, I was like 38 and I was like, I need to do something different. And so I walked into the gym, and the gym said, you do this, and I just nodded my head yes. And
yeah.
I did that 7 days a week, you know, for years.
Yeah.
And then when I started to really question how I can develop my own system,
yeah.
that's when I started really getting into it and started crafting this experience. And, mm-hmm. and I want to make sure that people have the same kind of path to okay. fitness that I did, which is like slow and steady, but accessible.
Yeah, you still win the race.
You win your race.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we're all tortoises. No hares.
Exactly.
No. Okay. So we've talked about the past. Talked about the present. Let's talk about the future a little bit. So, what are
sure.
some? Yeah. What are some goals you have for NerdFit before the end of 2014? So we're a little bit past the halfway point.
Well, obviously, we would love more people into the
yeah.
gym. You know, I think more people that experience this, the better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd hate to for someone just to sort of stay an in-betweener. And what I mean by that is that they don't want to go to a CrossFit gym, and they definitely don't want to go to a 24-hour fitness
yeah.
or something like that. So I don't want to leave those people behind.
Yeah.
And then The next thing is we'd love to expand this this place right here, and then maybe have another unit in a different part of the city.
Yeah.
I've gotten a lot of tweets that are like, hey, if this was in NYC, I would go. If this was in Phoenix, I would go.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, years down the road, we'd love to have these kind of facilities out there, and the reason is because we're everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, we're all powerful. This and so, true. You know, we need to tap into the nerds everywhere. And,
this is true.
You know, and who knows? We've got lots of ideas. And, you know, whether that's online resources for people to sort of connect to, you know, one of the great sites out there is nerdfitness.com.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's hundreds of thousands of people connecting into that site. And sort of, I think they're really, truly inspirational. And so maybe if we can tap into that kind of energy as well, you know, speaking to people that can't be here, that's what I'd really like to do.
Yeah. No, so let's talk about membership. I noticed you had a couple different like systems I thought was really awesome. You have like a unlimited, and then you have like a punch card, and then you have like a just like per session. And so what's it called? So I believe there was 15 per session.
It's $15 per session, and then it's $150 per month unlimited. You can come as many times as you want. And then we have a punch card, which is basically 10 sessions for $150. So it's basically that $15 class.
Yeah, no, which I think works out really well because sometimes people are like, oh, I can't like do like that. You know, everyone has different money.
It's LA and I understand. You know, people are busy. We have to drive everywhere. And so, you know, the people that are probably more local tend to do the $150 and the people that are just on the outskirts tend to do the punch cards because they try to get here when they can.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I would do punch card because I live about like 45-ish miles away.
Yes.
So I feel like I would want to come like every Sunday. Like that would be like my day.
That would be fantastic. You know, I'd hope that in between those Sundays you're actually doing something else. So prepare yourself.
Yeah, no, I have like a 24-hour fitness like membership, and so I try to do like fun active things. I try to like swim. I ride my bike, so I like to ride bike paths. And, you know.
Yeah, you did good today, so I think you'll be all right. You'll be all right.
I was dancing.
You were dancing in between the workouts. I was stunned by that.
Yeah, well, like I said, it was the pre-workout hit me. Like I want to say like 15 minutes before, I just like I took the pre-workout and was like, woo!
Yeah, that is I can't do those myself, but more power to you.
Oh yeah. All right. So, do you have any final statements? Anything you want to let people know about Nerd Fitness that we maybe didn't cover in this interview?
You know, I just want people to know that there are places out there. So, and we're just one of many, and I just want that the people who have decided that fitness isn't for them, you know, I want to prove them wrong. I want them to know that there are people like me out there that want them to change their lives. Yeah. And I'm here to help you. Regardless of any kind of NerdFit PR out there, I think the core of what I'm trying to do here is to help people just like me to get into what has made me, I believe, a stronger, better, and faster person. And just more efficient just in my daily life. You know, I think I stand up taller.
Yeah.
I think I speak better to people, and I think that's what we want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to be that strong, powerful person that we read about in comics and we see, you know, in our television shows that we love so much. We want to emulate those moments that they have themselves.
Totally.
And so if we can find a way to do that, even if it's just pressing a barbell over our head, even if it's doing, you know, simple L squats or running around in a circle, I find that the feedback that we get was, you know, they may not think that they're doing better here, but once they go outside, they're like, yeah, I feel more energized. I feel better about my, you know, situation. And, and you know, things don't hurt like where they used to hurt.
This is true.
Know? So.
Talk about our fire drill exercise.
Ooh.
Our what?
Fire drill.
Oh, yeah. So there's a little personal story, which is my wife and I did a fire drill exercise. So I would pretend that I have passed out from smoke inhalation on the bed, and she has to pull me off the bed and make it to the front door in under like 4 minutes, because that's like the time when you have before, you know, you die. And
before you die.
So the first like 4 or 5 years ago we did it, and she failed horribly.
Yeah.
And so
get him off the bed. It took me 10 minutes to drag him off the bed and drag him out of the room.
So now she can actually pick me up in a fireman's carrier.
Oh, wow.
And carry me out the door.
That's nice.
So,
how much does this guy weigh?
160.
160?
165.
It's not bad. I fluctuate. So,
they'll fluctuate.
Yeah, I fluctuate.
It depends how many waffles I've had.
Exactly. So, you know, if anything, you know, it can save your life.
Yeah.
You know.
Totally. All right. you know, it sounds awesome. Wrap this up with what's the URL for the
it's nrdfit.com. Yeah. You can also tweet us at nrdfit and facebook.com/nrdfit.
All right, cool. We will have links in the description. Fantastic. For this week's episode. I want to thank Andrew for letting me join in on the class today, for sitting down and having a chat with me. We're going to take a quick break and listen to a song and then jump back into the show. So keep it here at MimoCast.
Come on, Cohagen. You got what you want. Give these people air.
Song by the Damned. That was neat. Classic Damned song. I love it. And before that was an interview with Andrew Deutsch of Nerd Fit. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that, and definitely check out his gym out in LA. I will post links to social media and to the website in the description of this article, and I will actually be back there. Ideally, we'll both be there on Sunday just to check it out. And I feel like I'm going to become like a weekly member where I'll go on Sundays, just like my thing, yeah. You know, work permitting. Which I looked at my schedule for the next like 2 weeks. I think it's doable, so it'll be fun.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk here about Rick Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, recently, an article came up, I forgot where the article was, but Rick Fox was a guest on The View recently, yeah, the famed daytime talk show The View, where he discussed how pro gamers are actually athletes.
Yeah, and before we get into the discussion, let's, for those who might not know who Rick Fox is, he's a former member of the Lakers.
Yes.
So he's very involved in the athletic community, he knows a stellar basketball player.
Yeah, I think he's actually up for a coaching job.
Yeah.
Out in New York, I think.
Yeah.
So he's you know, pro athlete himself, and his son has become an MLG, you know, gamer.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting to see that him defending pro gamers as athletes, and as someone who, used to play Call of Duty on a competitive level in some ways. It was really, it was kind of like validating for me because I spent so many hours sitting around playing Black Ops 2, doing league matches. We had our own clan that we would do at like the weekly events. So
I think it was nice that he remained consistent despite, you know, some of the hosts trying to really like just say no, you're dumb.
Yeah, like Jenny McCarthy was not having it. She was
and it, of all people to like really like just beat down on something.
Yeah,
you know, I was like, I don't want to. I just don't like Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah.
But you know what? I felt really. I like was Team Whoopi though. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was really like, no, like I played Diablo. Like I get it. Like you, there's like a center of focus that you get into.
Yeah. He was more. It was less for him. Less about the whole like actual athleticism. You know, moving your body, and more about the time, the dedication, the the mental acuity that it takes to play these games on the next level. So I think, you know, people who play, like, StarCraft, you know, all those Korean StarCraft players, I mean, those guys are, like, celebrities over there. They marry supermodels and stuff. They have million-dollar contracts. You got MLG out here, so all those COD players and League of Legends players out here.
Is this Major League Gaming?
Yeah.
You know what's funny is that, like, everything is ML something. Like, the eating is MLE, Major League Eating.
Yeah.
But,
So, yeah. I mean, he was really, really defending them and talking about the mental acuity and the amount of focus and dedication it takes to kind of master these games and play them on a competitive level. And for me, that's kind of where it separates, like, oh, I game as a hobby and I'm gaming as a profession, is whether you do it on that competitive level. So you got these guys like Envy, Curse, FaZe, and, you know, all these different MLG teams that that are actually kind of getting some recognition now.
Yeah, and I thought one of the really important things he also mentioned was that, hey, it's like, not everyone who plays games is a professional, you know? Like, it's not like, oh, you play a game, you're an athlete.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
So that was pretty cool. It was a pretty cool article. I think we'll link it in the description of this article.
Yeah, I should have time to do. I think last week I didn't really do like too much linking.
Yeah.
So sometimes it just like it was like I was like, it's already late. I want to get it up.
Yeah. So yeah, well, so you guys can check it out because it's really interesting. It's really interesting. Donnie Wahlberg's there.
Donnie Wahlberg.
Yeah, Donnie Wahlberg's there talking about the Wahlbergs.
Yeah.
So yeah, go ahead and check that out.
Yeah, even if you have to kind of struggle with listening to Jenny McCarthy of The View, which is interesting because everyone except Whoopi Goldberg this week just got let go from The View.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so now it's like Whoopi is the sole host. They even got rid of the executive producer.
Oh,
and then there's talk of bringing Rosie O'Donnell back, which I would be about. I love Rosie, you know, I love Whoopi.
Such a cutie patootie.
Yeah. Okay, this isn't the 1997 Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards.
If I had a koosh ball, I would throw it at you right now.
If I had one of those like awards, those blimps, I'd throw it at you. You know. And speaking of Whoopi, it was cool. She had that little final moment at the end of the Ninja Turtles trailer. You know,
oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, she's in the Ninja Turtles trailer too.
Yeah, where they talk about is like you know, Vernon's like they're aliens, and then you know, Megabox, they're not aliens. That's stupid. Which is a nice little callback to all the internet calamity. But let's not backtrack too much. We're going to go into something new. DC Comics made two quick announcements. The first is that they're moving to Burbank. They're shifting to the West Coast, which is a really big move.
That might be interesting
because they've essentially been there for forever.
Yeah,
you know. So it says Marvel. So it's kind of nice to think about. Oh, cool! Now DC's over here. But the bigger, more important, more game changing, and I'm surprised it hasn't been done sooner, is they changed the way they are going to be paying their artists, not just artists, just all their you know, their talent.
Yeah, all their talent whatsoever, which I think is really cool. That's kind of them. Because with any large corporation or organizations, change is slow. Because the organization is more concerned with self-preservation than advancement.
Which is kind of funny, because I feel like advancement is, you know, a key part of, you know, self-preservation.
Well, I mean, look at the Catholic Church. They've been around for centuries. And they just barely admitted, okay, we're wrong about the whole Earth and Sun thing.
Yeah.
So,
okay. I'll give you that. But I think it's cool, like, now it's like they're taking digital into account, which is a big deal. They're, instead of, I guess, their pay rate being fixed on, like, how much their book costs, it's now, like, how many, like, units it's, or revenue it's bringing in.
Yeah.
Which I was like, do you guys want to do that already?
Exactly.
You know, which is really cool, because then if you, like, you know, like, for a month, like, let's say, like, an artist or, like, a writer or a colorist, like, is part of an issue, or a story arc that's just so big, like it just blows up out of nowhere. Like, let's say the book normally sells, oh, it sells like 10,000 units a month. That's not bad. And then for something, this crazy story arc comes along and it's selling like five times as much. Like, you get a pay boost for, like, you know, just knocking it out of the park.
Exactly.
Which is, you know, like that's rad. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it all works out overall for the company. But mm-hmm. I think it's a good move. It's definitely, it was necessary, especially because, like, colorists kind of get shafted in the original plan.
Yeah, and so the freelancers, too. They mentioned freelancers in the
article. So I'm glad that they really, like, DC was kind of like, you know, like, you know what, we need to change this. It's not good for, like, our, you know, they even mentioned we need this to bring the best talent we can find, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Finally, DC making a good decision.
Finally, yes. Yes, now next, bagels. For the final topic of today, we are going to talk about Predator.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about a fair amount of Predator. So Shane Black was announced to be part of a new Predator film, and originally the word that had gotten out was like, oh, it's a reboot, and everyone kind of like shit the bed and was like, what? No, that's dumb. And then Shane Black came out himself and be like, no, this is not. This is not a reboot. This is a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much rich history in these movies and so much mythology that's just been made. Why would you not want to use it? Why would you not want to add to it?
Yeah.
And I was like, Shane Black gets it. And so Shane Black, very talented writer and director. And so just to give you a list of kind of what he's worked on top of being in the first Predator, he plays Hawkins. So he's the first one to go out.
Yeah, he's the first one to die.
He's the guy with the glasses. You know, so he kind of understands, like, what makes for...
Well, he also had writer credit. He's an
uncredited writer, so he probably did some touch-ups on the script. So, like I said, he's been involved since the first one, which is really cool. But he's also worked as a writer on a Lethal Weapon.
Mm-hmm.
He's Last Action Hero, which is, you know, one of my favorite Arnold movies.
Yeah.
And I honestly feel one of the best. Mm-hmm. And really, part of the reason why it's so ill-received is because it came out at the wrong time. It was too meta for its own good.
Yeah.
Like, if that movie came out, like, you know, like... maybe 5 or 6 years ago, everyone would be all about it. Because it would be the community of, like, action films.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I see it. On top of that, you know, he's directed and wrote both Iron Man 3 and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah.
So the guy knows how to make an action movie, he knows how to write an action movie, and he even knows how to be and die in an action movie.
Yeah. But I just want to say that he was also in RoboCop 3.
Yes. Yes, he was in RoboCop 3 as Donnelly, but that's the RoboCop we don't talk about.
That's like the second and third Matrix movies and the last Indiana Jones. We just kind of shift them all to the side.
The Godfather 3 also.
Yeah, they just, meh.
They don't exist. There was a third RoboCop? Yeah, the reboot.
The reboot. If there's no Kurtwood Smith, I don't want to watch it.
Pretty much. You know, it's funny thinking of Red Foreman as, like, the villain in a movie.
RoboCop, you dumbass.
I think I'm going to stick my foot up your ass, RoboCop. Eric Foreman as RoboCop. I'm surprised Funny or Die hasn't made a video based on that premise.
Yeah, seriously.
I feel like it's something they would do. Or if we had the money, we would do.
Yeah,
we don't. But, so I'm really excited. And before we watched it, we actually watched a month, or before we started to record this segment, we watched the montage of all the deaths in Predator.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was funny how outrageous some of those were. Like, I feel like Carl Weathers has the best death.
I lost my arm, but I got another gun!
He has two guns. And I forgot he dies like that. But he has two guns, one on each like shoulder. Yeah. He's about to shoot the Predator, and his arm gets sliced off, or however it gets removed.
It gets plasma bursted off.
And so he's like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I have another arm and another gun. I will take you out. And the Predator like lifts him up, and he's like, nope.
Then he stabs him with his two little prong sword and like lifts him up.
Like, he's like, ah! You know, and Predator also has the distinction of being the only, like, action film to feature two governors.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Jesse Ventura and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And then, do you remember back when they were both governors around the same time? Like, there was a shirt that came out where it says, my governor can kick your governor's ass.
I don't remember that, but that's actually really awesome.
I do remember that. To be honest, when they were politicians, that was a great time for comedy. Not so much the state of the government, but,
yeah.
But if you wanted to laugh... You know, it was like, you know, even Jay Leno was kind of, no, it wasn't Jay Leno's, but it was Conan O'Brien's bit where it was like different ways as to how Arnold would mispronounce Sacramento.
Yeah.
And some of the good ones were Soggy Meadow. Like, it's Soggy Meadow. Or,
Sacramento's.
Shack of Leno. And I was like, yes, these are always, he would mistake, saying Sacramento. So it's a great time for comedy, not so much for State of California or whatever, yeah. or whatever state Jesse the Body Ventura, you know, managed.
He was just the governor of the South. of the entire South.
You know, it would have been cool if, like, to end their terms, they had, like, a match sanctioned by the WWE.
That would have been so awesome!
It's like, what title are they competing for? Does it matter?
Well, no, it's going to be former actors as governor's bout, and they have to reanimate Ronald Reagan and bring him back.
But then Zombie Reagan's going to win by default. That's how they're going to write it.
That's true. Zombie Reagan has... No, what's happened is Jesse Ventura and Arnold Schwarzenegger are going to be in the ring, and they're going to be, like, duking it out.
Zombie Ronald Reagan runs in with a chair.
Yeah, and just, like, throws it under the ropes and beats the crap out of both of them.
And then the match gets called to a DQ, and then that's when Reagan turns heel.
And then CM Punk comes out. And that's how CM Punk comes back to WWE. It's Zombie Ronald Reagan. Yeah.
See, we should write for the WWE. You know, we could help bring the stock back.
Yeah, no, definitely. WWE, Vince McMahon, if you're listening right now.
Triple H, Vince, Stephanie. Hell, Shane O'Mac, are you listening?
Hire us. We know what we're doing.
What else is Shane O'Mac doing? Nothing. And then with that, we're going to carry things out. So thank you for listening. I feel like as far as banter goes, this might have been our best episode today.
Yeah, 2 months in. We're only getting better. We're aging like fine wine.
Or aging like fine wine. Yes, this is true. Although I don't enjoy wine, but I can swirl it in a glass and pretend that I'm classy.
Yeah, I can turn, you know, I can turn around in a chair all like dramatically with my thing and be like, "Oh, you're home."
Turn around. Everyone dance. All right, and with that, we say bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Say goodbye.